This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to Seagull Social, Season 3, Episode 44. I am Ben, I'm joined with Maz and Ryan, and we are here to preview the Manchester City episode. Unfortunately, I missed the moment we pretty much qualified for Europa League, so just going to say one bit on that. That's unbelievable, of course. But I'm just glad I managed to go to the City game and hear the Europa League anthem in the Amex for the first time. Was just big incredible. Time. That was so strange. Unbelievable night. Luckily, all three of us managed to get there as well. Maz, how did you find the game?
Yeah, the mate. Experience? Oh, mate, incredible. Like, to go toe-to-toe with Manchester City, arguably one of the best ever Premier League sides, and outplay them for majority of the game, I'd say. Maybe there was
outplayed,
maybe 20, 30 minutes where they you know, they're Man City. They were obviously an incredible side. But to outplay them at the Amex, I just think it still baffles my brain how far we've come as a football club and how we can go toe-to-toe with the English champions, potentially the European champions as well in a few weeks' time. It just blew my mind. And that in Cissé goal, Jesus Christ, that was just mental. But what I will say, Ben, and this should be the pod title, if Manchester City can get to the Champions League final, so can we. Yeah? How about that?
I don't know if we'll fit the characters for the title. We'll have to cut it down a bit.
Just the fact that we went toe to toe with them and we outplayed them at times. I just
with a weaker team as well, Ryan. Like, would you? Because when I saw the lineup, I'm not even. Maybe I was joking as well with my mates, but I was like, "Oh, we could be losing 16-0 here and then missing out on Europa League when Villa beat us 8-0 or whatever at Villa Park." But I genuinely thought this was going to be a pretty rough ride when I saw the lineup, but. I was very, very surprised and obviously super proud of the boys that did play. But what were your thoughts when you saw the lineup initially?
Yeah, like you're going to be worried, aren't you? But I thought that, you know, at the end of the day, I trust these players. These players are quality. Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny when you go through our team and like you think about Julio, you think about Facundo. These boys are 18, 19. You've got Evan Ferguson's 18. You've got Billy Gilmore, you'd argue, is more established in that 11. He's 21. And then you've got, you know, just signed João Pedro for 20. He's 21. Like our squad is so young. And it's insane
Jan
because
Van Heek,
pretty much the whole 22. Team. Yeah, he was fantastic, by the way. He's going to get massive plaudits from me soon because he played that role so well that he was told to do. And it was like, honestly, De Zerbi tactically was unbelievable in that game. And I wanted to pick up on that point, but we'll get to that. But yeah, that 11 that we had, it realistically has no right to beat the 11 that City put out. I mean, they put out a full team, to be honest. It surprised me. I didn't see it coming. The only thing that they changed was their goalie, and it's not like he's a bad goalie. So I was quite surprised as to how City approached it versus us. Maybe Pep wanted to, you know, notoriously after he praises somebody, he wants to go and smash him.
That's what I thought.
But it was good to see the mutual respect as well at the end. But now, what a game, mate.
And yeah, I was actually going to bring up JP Van Heek because he was probably the standout in the lineup when I thought, oh my God, please don't tell me Haaland's then starting the City one. Check the City one, Haaland's starting. I thought, oh God, this could be curtains because he got a few, from what I heard and from what I read, a few people didn't rate his performance at Newcastle. I didn't think he was too bad considering how we played that night. So, and to do what he'd done against Haaland, the best striker, one of the best strikers the Premier League has ever seen, maybe one of the best strikers the world has ever seen. Mm. Albeit, obviously, they won the title, but still, his fresh legs, trying to compete for, well, I was going to say compete for a spot in the Champions League final, but we all know he's probably going to start, unless Pep throws some random surprise. But yeah, to do what he'd done against Haaland was just incredible. He locked him up. Yeah, how impressed were you, Maz, of him?
Yeah, brilliant. He was so physically, obviously it was a very physical battle. Like, you know, he was jumping all over him. He was pulling his shirt. He was making it very unenjoyable for Haaland that evening. But I think that's what you've got to do with Haaland, unfortunately. I think because, you know, he, for me, what I noticed as well, especially seeing it live, like I think it's the first time I've seen Haaland live, and just being able to see him, that spin move he does, he loves that, doesn't he? You know, where he lays it off, spins off the defender and just runs. And obviously his pace, his brute, strength, he is just perfect for him, that kind of like tactic. Yeah. And yeah, every time Van Hek would be so tight to him, it was very similar to Rudiger in the first leg of the Champions League semi,
yeah,
where he was you know, touch tight, wouldn't let him spin, wouldn't let him really get off. And there was only that one time, obviously, for the goal where he got away from him, you know, broke the lines. Gross kept him onside, which I'm sure we'll get onto. But aside from that, he was brilliant at just keeping him at arm's length and not letting him do what he usually does and sort of bully defenders. And if anything, he was bullying him at times. So, yeah. And Haaland was getting frustrated as well. You could see, I think at one point he pushes him as well. I remember that but he basically like rugby tackled him. And then, yeah, Haaland got pretty annoyed and asked for a yellow card. So, yeah, it was a great physical battle. And I think Van Hek was brilliant. He just done everything he needed to keep him quiet most of the time.
And he left a few wounds on him, didn't he? Because I think I saw on Haaland's Instagram story the next day. He was like, he was going, I love these, but he's either showing off his dunks or he was showing off his scars on his legs. A lot of people were just saying, well, just wear shin pads then, mate. Because a lot of these pros don't. They just wear like pieces of cardboard or some mini shin pads. Their nan's curtain just is not going to do any job. But Ryan, go on, give your plaudits to JP.
Oh, yeah, he's exceptional, as Maz said, like very, very good on Haaland, but also as a whole. His technical and ball playing ability, I was really surprised by. It's one thing that I wasn't sure. I knew he was a good defender, was good at Blackburn, but the way he played on the ball was fantastic. This is what I wanted to bring up was right at the beginning of the game, he was pretty much playing in midfield, a bit like how Pep does with John Stones. And I thought, this is really interesting because we've got him playing differently today. And I thought, as soon as I saw that, I was like, right, okay, so he's obviously put a tactic into Van Hek today because it's different, right? We're playing against a tougher side and he's throwing him in instead of Lewis Dunk, which is massive, right? And to see him playing like he did and getting up and down too, as well as sort of coming in midfield, and he also was able to sort of get his distribution out as well, was really, really good to see because it showed how fluid we were. Him and Colwill sort of switched sides so often. And I thought that was pretty amazing to watch. I mean, it was, again, I thought that Pep was trying to play like De Zerbi, but De Zerbi knew that Pep was going to try and play like him. So he counteracted it with something completely different. And it was like, oh my God, this is, and I was watching it like, this is a tactical masterclass. Because me and Isaac are proper like nerds for this sort of thing. And I was messaging him like, mate, this is a tactical masterclass for the ages, right? This is unbelievable. And I was watching it and I just thought, yeah, Van Hek was unbelievable, as was Levi Colwill and Jason Steele.
But it looked like... It looked like Colwill was man marking De Bruyne, and then Van Hek was man marking Haaland, they were just constantly because Colwill will come into the middle as well, and then we would literally just have like one centre back. And I'm like, cool, if they catch us here, then we're screwed. But yeah,
I noticed that as well. It was a lot of like specific man marking, wasn't there, rather than zonal that some teams approach it.
That leads me on well though, Ryan, because Jason Steele obviously pulled off a brilliant save because Haaland goes through on goal after we've been kind of pressurising their goal. And you think, oh, here we go, it's classic. You know, we've probably maybe nearly earned a goal and then they just go down the other end and get it. But yeah, Haaland doesn't manage to score thanks to Jason Steele. The North Stand erupted into "you're just a shit Daniel Welbeck," and then the whole stadium picked up on it. And I thought, that's class. Yeah. I was watching Haaland and he looked like he was quite enjoying that because he kind of understands the British humour, doesn't he? So that was brilliant. Yeah, Jason Steele was great again. It wasn't last night, was it? The night before, Ryan. But yeah, you were about to touch on Jason Steele, weren't you?
Yeah, well, as I say, the ignore the drilling in the background if you know. I'm very sorry. But he was fantastic. I thought that, I mean, to be honest with you, the whole team was fantastic. But since we brought in Jason Steele, it's very different again. And, you know, it's always a big question mark over him and Sanchez. And it looks like Sanchez probably won't be playing for us again if it's going to be like this. But I thought Steele was brilliant. Again, it's proof of De Zerbi, what he's done with these players. Like, him and Danny Welbeck were pretty much written off by the footballing world. And the way that he was sucking in these players, bear in mind, he's got Phil Foden, he's got Erling Haaland, he's got Kevin De Bruyne, Riyad Mahrez. These aren't players that are just a joke. These are the best in the world. And they're sort of closing down Steele. He's waiting for him. And then he's waiting for Colwill to make the move. And that's where that goal came from with Julio, because he's waiting, he's dragging them all in, and then he's played out to Colwill, who's made the run forward. And there's Julio and Ciso with, you know, that and Chelsea was the two of the best goals I've ever seen live, let alone, you know, in just this season. And he's been fantastic. And
in the matter big, of big, like big, a month
big
or two.
Credit to Steele. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, a lot of people were writing him off, a bit too erratic, I think I said on the podcast, and he needs to maybe get a loan, was what people were saying as well. And all of a sudden, he's easily one of our best attackers, easily. And, you know, you wouldn't even know we're missing Leandro Trossard and those sort of players that we lost in January. Because it's you can make a case that, now that he's better.
Yeah, you probably could. It's funny you say, like, people writing him off. I feel like that's kind of the same for Facundo Buonanotte as well, especially with what I've seen and heard. And maybe even sometimes myself, I'm thinking maybe he's not cut out for it yet. Obviously, when he gets played out wide, he kind of looked a bit lost in a few games. But against Man City, he was brilliant. Yeah. I don't know if you guys agree, Maz, but yeah, I thought he was phenomenal.
Mate, I made notes because basically my memory is awful. So when especially if I'm there as well, because it's you know
contrast.
you don't have the sort of memory. But funny enough, in my notes, I actually put down. So I've got in my notes the players. I put like key performers, whatever, and he was one of them. And I thought he was brilliant. I thought, you know, he was Enciso, Gilmore, Buonanotte were my three that I wrote down. But I mean, look, you can make a case for pretty much every player on the pitch. I thought everyone was brilliant. But yeah, Buonanotte really stood out for me just because, yeah, I was on the same wavelength as you, Ben, in terms of I wasn't really like criticizing the performances, but I just didn't think he was ready. I felt like he was much more an impact player to come off the bench, you know, really sort of just ease him in more so, get him more acclimatized, and then started down the line. But fair play to him. Against Man City, he was one of the better players. He was taking on players. He wasn't looking fearful. His end product was better. It's just, yeah, it was just a much better performance from him. And I think, yeah, he was a bit poor against a few sides previous, but against Man City, he was faultless and he really, really stood out for me.
Yeah, it's nice. Ryan, because I did want to pick up on the Sanchez thing, but did you have any words for Kundo?
Yeah, I think Buonanotte is probably better to talk about anyway, to be honest with you. And I think, yeah, he was fantastic. I was quite surprised by his close ball control. He gets away from his players quite tight and similar to Matoma, really. And I think it goes to show that he, you know, Carlos Tevez famously said that he's the best Argentinian talent. And, you know, yesterday, I think, well, see, I say yesterday again, you see that a lot more. And I think maybe it does come down to, you know, confidence also, that he's in a new country, hasn't really played. He is 18 years old. I think it's always worth mentioning the ages of these players. And, you know, I was probably one of those. I think against Everton, he got overrun a lot. Against Forest, he got overrun a lot. And that's just coming into these sort of physical sides down at the bottom, latter stage of the season. And I think that if you give him a full season in the Premier League, even a couple more months in the Premier League, pre-season as well is obviously coming up, he's gonna definitely improve. You can see the quality in him. And as I say, that sort of way he got past players, he sort of glide through. It's a bit like a Phil Foden sort of move. And that really, you know, encouraged me to think, yeah, this boy's got it as well. And it's good to see.
Just quickly before we go on to Sanchez, I just want to talk about just quickly as well, just the transfers we've had. So, like, historically speaking, right, we've had a fair few flops, right? You know, you can look at Elvis Manny, you can look at Jurgen Lacadia, you can look at
what a player.
You know, there's lots of players we could pull out, right? But I think so it's good just, we say this pretty much every pod, but how well we've done with the recruitment, and just to show, like, in terms of, even look at the beginning, we thought Undav might be a flop, but he's turned out actually pretty good. His finishing's brilliant, and when he's actually come in, he's actually been pretty good most of the time.
Enjoying
of course,
himself.
He's had his stinkers. Yeah, he's enjoying himself. Like you said, Buonanotte, Enciso, Gilmore, like, all of these players have come in and actually proven their worth, where easily could have gone the other way. They could have had a poor start and it could have just carried on, and, you know, their days are numbered and they're going to go out. But I think we've hit pretty much like, I'd say 9 out of 10 transfers in terms of like a success rate.
Just hits, no misses.
Yeah, just hits no misses, as Drake would say. So, yeah, no, I think it's just massively impressive, really, how well all the players that have come in have developed and actually nurtured themselves in new, like Ryan said, you know, most of these players, like Enciso and Bonanotte, have come in from Argentina and Paraguay, completely different world, especially like a young age as well, to come in and do what they've done. I think it's just hugely impressive, really.
I mean, you look at Gilmour particularly. I think he's been brilliant recently. I really do. I think he's been so good. Breaks up the play so well. It's disappointing that he doesn't get more minutes. He's got to be wondering what he's got to do to get 90. But yeah, he's been brilliant. And you see, obviously, what came out about him. It's really horrible what's come out about him. With the Mason Mount woman that's been stalking him. And Mason Mount and Ben Chilwell as well. And the fact that he's been going through all that with nobody even knowing about it, and then everyone's thinking, why is he in the team? Why isn't he in the team, should I say? And now that's all come out, and you can see the freedom he's playing. He's playing a lot more free now that he's obviously got a conclusion on the case, and it must be a lot easier for him to be able to cope with that. But equally, you forget about how old these boys are. As I keep saying, in 10 years' time, Gilmour's 31. He's in his prime as a centre midfielder. At 31 years old, he's 21 at the moment. So to expect him to be able to play like he's in his prime when he's this young, I think it goes to show that, you know, in only a year you've been able to see an improvement. If these players stick around for another 3 or 4, 5, 6 years, what's going to happen then? You know, if they actually stick with it, what is going to happen to these players? Because I think they can go seriously very, very, very high in their career, and that speaks for at least 5, 6, 7 of them in that starting 11 that's at that age.
That's a fair point. On the Billy Gilmour stuff. Yeah, that was crazy. I don't know how much that would just... Maybe it could. I mean, I've never obviously been stalked, but I don't know how much that would distract you from football. But
well, he did say it's really affected him mentally.
Oh, did he? I haven't seen
him. He came out and said I think he had a worse experience than Mason Mount, weirdly. I don't know. Because I think what she was doing, she was messaging Billy Gilmour and Chilwell to get in touch with Mount. And so obviously she was harassing them to get through to Mount, if that makes sense.
Oh, Jesus. And apparently she also admitted guilty to this, by the way. So not apparently, guilty to lying about having his kids, like he was on sleeping tablets, all this sort of thing.
Jesus.
He's come out and admitted. He couldn't sleep for months. He was on his own in Brighton, obviously, so he's away from home because his family probably in London or Scotland. So, you know, that transfer as well, like you've got to come down here. You know, even if you've got family down here, it's still a whole move that you've got to make at such a young age and all that going on. Like, are you crazy? That's enough to be able to drive someone out of a job, let alone, you know, sticking with it and getting better from it. And now that he's got the conclusion, it must be massive for him. A big weight off his shoulders.
No, I'm glad I just said that because I had no idea the actual ins and outs of it. I didn't.
Yeah. From shout out Brighton Bubble for reporting it because I wouldn't have seen.
Oh, right. Yeah, good. I think
it was quite, to be fair, it was not to shit on Brighton Bubble, but I think it was quite UK news. Like it hit the national headlines.
Fair. One little kind of controversial topic I did want to talk about. I don't know if you guys spoke about it on the previous one, but I do think it is worth just talking about because I find it quite strange personally and I wouldn't want to just avoid it just for the sake of it. The fact Sanchez isn't around the team when, you know, he's been at the club for maybe like, 4 or 5 years potentially now. He's had a really good stint as a first choice goalkeeper. Helped us get to where we are, by the way, of course, playing the majority of this season and the season before when we had a really, really good season, record finish in the Premier League. So to then not want to be part of the match day squad for whatever reason. I do get the feeling that it is his choice that he doesn't want to be around the squad when we were just about to qualify for Europe. We then did. And then obviously against Man City, it was going to be a special day, the last game of the season, to then not want to be part of that again. I just find that quite odd. I mean, yes, even if you want to leave, that's cool. But, you know, you can still be there with, you know, the 25-man squad or whatever. He's still brilliant friends with all of them. All the coaches had great rapport with all of them. You'd want to celebrate where you've got to. And I saw an image of him, I think it was after the Sunday game? Well, it might have been after City. No, I think it was after the Sunday game against Southampton. And he was with some of the South American boys, like, just chilling that evening. So it just makes you think, like, why would you not want to celebrate with the club, with the fans, that game. Who wants to go first? But I just find that quite strange.
I'll go first. Yeah, I think first of all, yeah, like you mentioned, I think you have to remember what he's done for the club in terms of, like, he has got us to this stage. He's been part of what's, you know, the journey. Yeah. So that's really key to remember. And it's a great shame, I think, how it's all panned out. Like, we all knew that, you know, he was the kind of character, I think, to sometimes be a bit, you know, outspoken and all that kind of stuff. And I think he's, unfortunately, yeah, for whatever reason, again, I don't want to comment fully because I don't know the ins and outs. I don't know what's going on in the background. Like you said, it might be, you know, something with Billy Gilmore. We didn't know what was going on until it all came out now. So again, we don't know if something's happening behind closed doors. However, yeah.
Allegedly.
allegedly, yeah. But yeah, I don't know with regards to Bobby Sanchez. It is a great shame because you'd like to see him at least be part of it, like you said, like be part of the celebrations, you know, do his lap of honour. He wasn't even at the lap of honour on Sunday. So yeah, it's a great shame how it's looking, it's panning out. And I think we're replacing him. I see we're linked with a Hertha Berlin goalkeeper as well, who just got relegated. Mm. So it looks like he's very much out, going out the way. And yeah, it looks like Jason Steele and the Hertha Berlin keeper are going to be... Oh, and also Rushworth is coming back as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a real strange one. And it's a shame how it's all ended. But I think the club knows best, the Zerbi knows best. And yeah, I sort of trust how we're going to handle it. I think no matter what happens, I think we're going to handle it in the right way. Mm-hmm. You know, whether we sell him, whether we, you know, whatever happens, I think we'll handle it the right way like we usually do. So yeah, it's unfortunate, but it's one of those things that happens in football, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the reason why I said it wasn't more of a question for the club of why it wasn't. Yeah. It was more of just a question for Sanchez. Obviously he's not listening to this or watching it, but that's what I just can't understand his logic as to why he wouldn't want to be a part of these like final two games at the Amex.
Maybe Ryan, it's out of pride. I don't know.
Maybe, but yeah, I mean, that's what you've worked for all this time. You know, he came in for Matty Ryan and it was a breath of fresh air. And Brighton fans were like, oh my God, we finally got a brilliant goalkeeper, young goalkeeper. It's going to be amazing. So I just feel like I'm not him, obviously, but for me, if I've invested that much time and effort mentally and physically, I'd want to at least reap the rewards and at least even if you're not playing, but just that lap of honour, I'm sure would have been a really special moment. But yeah, Ryan, go on. If you've got anything to say on it.
Yeah, I mean, De Zerbi's excluded him. I mean, it's you know, it's the same with Trossard. If you're not going to agree or pull your weight or you're not going to play ball, well, then what do you want to do? Like, you know, if it's your choice, if you want to play, if you want to be with us, you're with us. If you're losing and you're not with us, you want to be with us when you win. So what do you want? You can't have both of them. So you've got to be with us or you're not. So you're not. Okay, so that means you can't play with us. And that means you've got to go. So unfortunately, that's how it works. And that's how it works in everything. If you're not going to be with us now, don't be with us then. Like, it's as simple as that. Jason Steele's wasted 4 years. Yeah, but I
mean, like, Alexis is going to go. And we know that. We know Alexis is going, but he's still part of the squad, still trying his best. Like, and you can still compete to be the number two goalkeeper, you're going.
I think that's bang on though, Ben. I think that's the reason why, is because he doesn't, this is my view. I think he just doesn't want to fight for that number one spot. He's just like, well, do you know what?
Yeah, Steele's waited 4 years to make that rep, to make that squad. And yeah, forget him.
You know, yeah, I just feel like personally, from my view, I just don't think he's got the fight in him to fight for that number one spot. He's sort of just given up and he's gone, do you know what? I can't be asked to fight for number one. I think in his head, he thinks I can go to any other club or most clubs outside the top six and I can become a starter. And you know, and it showed, remember, when we said when he didn't have someone fighting for, before Steele sort of really started fighting for the number one spot, he didn't, remember, we were saying he doesn't seem to care. Like, he's, oh, I'm number one, do you know what, I'll make a few mistakes, it's fine, I don't really have any competition anyway. But then as soon as Steele started competing, he was like, shit, and then he just didn't really seem to want to get that back. So that's just my view.
That's what I'm saying. If you're not with it, then you're not with it. Like, you know, I don't know what people like. I was on the fence until I heard about it, and then obviously once it's all sort of known that he's not going to be in the squad and it's totally down to him. You know, De Zerbi said that with Tony Bloom, that he really thanks him for giving him the sort of support for two situations he's had this season in the dressing room and to be able to make his decision. And if you're not going to play De Zerbi's way, then you're not in it. And, you know, that's how it should be, because he's the manager. He's the boss. If you're not going to agree with him, then you can't be with him. And, you know, whatever's going to happen with Sanchez, hopefully he bucks his ideas up and sorts himself out. But I can't see that happening, unfortunately. And I do think it will end up being, yeah, as I say, Jason Steele's fought for this, mate. He's been through everything. He's been through hell and back to be able to be in that squad. So why wouldn't you want to support him? And that's why I don't understand with some of our fans that don't want to. Because he's been through everything. He's waited. He even got pipped to the starting 11 by Sanchez from the under-23s. And he still didn't get a game, but he still supported Sanchez getting there, still fought for his place back, still played in the cup games and made penalty saves. And you know, so now that he's got his opportunity, Sanchez wants to go, then go. Go. <Yeah. laughs> You're not here then.
Yes, fair.
So what?
Someone's phone keeps vibrating, by the way, so if you could pop it on.
Yeah, I can hear that.
All right, but yeah, that's a good. I think we've covered that well. Yeah, it's just a shame. Obviously, he played more recently against Chelsea away, didn't he? When Enciso scored his first worldie, and then he played in the semi-final against United. Yeah.
And he actually played really well
in the semi. Yeah, I know. Both games he was really, really good.
Maybe that's actually not a good point as well. Do you know?
Yeah,
it is a good point. No, not to justify his actions, but could that be? Is that in his thinking? He's like, look, I've had such a good game against Man United. Why have I been dropped again? And what, you know, does he feel injustice of no, I know, but like is that his thinking? He's like, oh, I've played really well against Man United and then I've just been dropped the next game. Is he thinking, oh well, Deserby's not showing me any faith, he's not showing me any loyalty, so why should I show you any loyalty? Yeah, is that a thought process?
I'm not saying that's right. Loyalty the whole way through. You know, that's
no,
the thing.
Of course,
he's had the loyalty. He's been immovable for 3 years.
Well, technically, though, Potter was the one who showed faith in him, technically speaking, because he was the one who put him in at the beginning.
De Zerbi, and then he replaced him with Steele when he thought that Steele was better, because Steele had, I think, 3 or 4 really, really good games for us in the Cup. And it was at that point where it was, you know, he was playing with his feet in a way
errors.
That Sanchez doesn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was playing with his feet differently because he was waiting. He was doing what Cole Will at Dunk does. So it's almost made Steele into almost like an outfielder. He doesn't play Steele as a normal as a normal goalkeeper. He keeps him right on the edge of his box and waits to invite pressure. Whereas I don't think Sanchez was doing that as much, and that's what's ultimately cost it. But you know, it's just, you know, it is what it is. We move on. I don't really care too much, to be honest. It is what it is. Like, if he stays, he stays. If he doesn't, it's on his own back. Like, you know, he's done well for us, but you know, you can't expect both ways. It's the same as Trossard. Like, I don't hold any love for Trossard or any hate for Trossard. He's gone, so who cares? He didn't want to be here.
I agreed.
Yeah, fair. But yeah, best of luck to Sanchez wherever you do go. It'll be interesting to see where he does go. And yeah, I'm sure he'll get a good reception, hopefully. If we do meet him next season. But let's get back to the game. We did end up conceding. Maybe Sanchez would have saved it. I'm just kidding. we get hit on the break after some good pressure. It's a shame. Van Heek was having a good game, but Haaland, instead of shooting, he actually decided to assist Foden, was it, who was also unbelievable, by the way. Just collides with the ball, that kid.
He was really good.
Weird. Doesn't look real. But yeah, then Van Heek, don't know if you could have cleared it, but maybe Jesse Ballett's running back like that. It's harsh to pin it on anyone
that was on the goal line. But I think the big culprit was Pascal Gross, because he was like so deep. He kept everyone on. Well, he kept Haaland on. So I think if you're going to look at anyone for that goal, not to blame anyone, but if you're going to look at someone who's at fault for that goal, it's going to have to be Pascal Gross, unfortunately. Because as we all know, right back is not his preferred position. He's a centre midfielder / you know, he's not a defender right back by trade, so we can give him some slack, but yeah, he was pretty deep for that, and he kept Haaland on side, who then obviously ran through.
I like Pascal Gross at right.
He's great. Just for that goal, though, he was left lacking, and he kept him on side. So
but that was an interesting decision to play then Caicedo in midfield rather than what he's been doing previously, and yeah, I'm here for it. Ryan, yeah, what did you make of the goal? It was a bit of a shame when it went in, because you thought, did we really deserve to concede that?
We were on the front foot 100%, and it was totally against the run of play, which is funny to say against Manchester City. And to be honest with you, it took our wind out of our sails for a good 5 minutes or so. For about 5 minutes, I think we got a little bit rattled, and then we came back into it and looked good again. And then, if anything, it made us stronger, I think, towards the end of the second half. Sorry, the first half. It was a shame when it happened, because, as I say, it was just a bit of a calamity of errors, really. I couldn't really blame that on JP, because he was having such a good game, and then he sort of scrambled back to get anything on it was going to be good enough. And then, unfortunately, very much it didn't quite go around the post. I thought, it is what it is. You know, I wasn't I wasn't going to hate on anyone for it, but it's a shame when you concede in those sort of ways against a quality team. You'd rather just be ripped apart and say fair enough, wouldn't you, rather than have something like that. But it is what it is.
Of course. Yeah. It just then further proves the mentality in this squad, because then, like you said, Brian, we did bounce back. Had the ball in the net, Matoma like a bobsledder, just tried to like dive on it. No, what's that like Olympic winter sport when they're on that?
Yeah, bobsled.
Well, no, not a bobsled, but they're on that. They're on that like four wheeled like square plate, like the chess.
Yeah,
just looked like he just done anything he could to get the ball into the back of him.
Yeah. Yeah, as soon as that went in, I was like, I don't think that's going to get allowed.
It looked the most dodgy goal ever.
Yeah, we're all going mad. And then it was like, yeah, I don't think that's going to count quite evidently. Yeah.
But no, that's good to show that we were trying to get back into it. And then another unbelievable goal from Julio Enciso. His Chelsea goal, I think put it up. It was like 32 metres out. And then this one against City was also 32 metres out, which is also crazy. But in my opinion, I'd probably say this one was better.
Yeah, 100%. I've got an argument for this, okay? So, in terms of the magnitude, in terms of what it meant to the game, I'd say Chelsea's much more important because it won the game against, you know, Chelsea, who we all know we've got a nice little rivalry with now. And that was so important to get us to Europe, right? Don't know why. We'll get onto that. And then... yeah, that goal, I think that Chelsea goal went way more. However, I think the build-up for the Man City goal from Steele all the way up to Enciso and the finish itself was just incredible, like top bins. Even the Man City fans were clapping and, you know, giving it the gratitude it deserved. I think that's the thing. In terms of what it meant, Chelsea, but in terms of quality, City.
Just everyone was the crowd every time it was nearly going in. I was like, "Oh,
yeah, that was class." Yeah.
But when everyone reacted to the first replay, is it what? Not just worldies, but that the way it just
we do it to
just in the top corner. The top corner was just incredible.
We didn't do it against Southampton, did we? I don't remember doing that.
When it's a bit like an important one, we do it to pretty much like
when it's a worldie.
Yeah.
I just don't get to see many worldies, mate. I normally see us lose, unfortunately.
Everton, fucking
yeah. But yeah, Ryan, go on. Lead us away with that goal.
I think it's I think in terms of what it meant at Chelsea, I lost my head at Chelsea. And when Julio sort of stands there because it was right in front of me like this, I was like, "You are such a boy." And then when it was City, I think if you were to look at the strike, as someone who loves to strike a ball, I would say that the one against City was better just because he's gone for the far corner as opposed to the near corner. And to get it across the goal, like to have that much power from 32 yards out across goal is harder than to put it straight across, because to hit it like an arrow is, I'd say, easier than hitting it across goal because you've got to get more power in it. And you've also got to get this more direction.
This is a good debate
I'd say that's a harder strike. And also the build-up play was better. It was a prime De Zerbi ball sort of build-up with Steele and Colwill and Facundo and Gilmore, I think, was involved as well. So that part was great. But yeah, I think the strike-wise, I'd say the one against City edged it purely because it was in that upper 90, wasn't it? It was literally top for that reason.
I think that's the best goal I've ever seen live. I think it's got to be.
Yeah, I used to say I always held it as Florian Andone against Palace was my favourite. Yeri Skalak as well. QPR, if you remember.
Fun fact, my good friend Grant actually set up Skalak for that. So the header out was by Grant. And we actually brought that up the other night against Enciso. We actually brought that video up. We were like, Grant, you've now been beaten for the best goal assist for a worldie at the Amex.
That when he was playing for QPR as well.
So he headed it out and then Skalak just absolutely walloped it.
Do you know what? Jack Albion brought up a good one. Matty Sparrow, if you remember this, is putting everyone's minds back. It caught me straight away. Matty Sparrow against Southampton in the first season at the Amex, and it was posting in. If you remember that one, it was probably about 35 yards out.
Smacked it.
That was a good one.
I remember Matty Sparrow though.
Debut against Swindon.
David Lopez as well.
David Lopez
could be up there.
But in terms of this season though, where does What's your goal of the season? Unless we score another world against Villa, but we never normally do too well.
I wouldn't put it past us at the moment.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I'm going to chuck one out there. Again, I don't know in terms of the sort of magnitude of it. However, the goal against Arsenal at the Emirates in the League Cup, the one where Sarmiento done the little flick and then Tottenham scored. Yeah, the build-up play for that was brilliant. Goal. Yeah, great. A great team goal. Yeah. I wouldn't say like it was a worldie or anything like that, but the build-up play was brilliant. Like Sarmiento involved heavily.
You've just got, you've just given me memories right there. Of Enoch Mwepu at the Emirates. What a goal that was. I know you're talking about this season.
Brilliant.
But you've just given me a memory of him, like that edge of the box volley, sort of side footed into the goal. That was such a nice goal. And the one at Liverpool.
He didn't run to the away fans though.
Since some worldies, mate. I forgot about all these. That's true.
If I give you a goal of the season, do you know what? This is probably just recency bias, but yeah, I'd have to go and see so you can see, I think, just for recency bias. But there's been, I think we've scored some fantastic goals.
We had two away at home against Leicester. Alexis, obviously.
Well, yeah, Alexis disallowed. Yeah, I was about to say, if we can do disallowed goals, Alexis McAllister's got to win it.
at least it makes up for that one.
Yeah, that's true.
That free kick was nice, though.
Do you know what? People in the comments, comment down below, what's your goal of the season? And also, because it was a good debate, what was a better goal, the Enciso versus Chelsea or Enciso versus Man City as well?
Yeah.
So let us
know. And why as well. Don't just say one or the other. You have to say why.
Yeah.
I want to know.
Yeah.
And also like and subscribe, obviously, because.
Of course.
We normally ask right at the end of the podcast.
Good plug.
Yeah.
Like it.
And then obviously, for the rest of the game, it was. I think the first half was obviously probably the better half, but then the second half was still enjoyable to watch because they're two brilliant teams, no matter what they're fighting for. But not too much happened other than really. Haaland getting a disallowed goal.
The header. Let's talk about that because that annoyed me actually. Because everyone was like, "Oh yeah," people were messaging me on WhatsApp going, "How's that been disallowed?" I was like, "Mate, he's literally pulled him." Like, I don't know how you can't not disallow that goal. I didn't understand the logic behind people saying he should have stood.
It's a foul. Yeah,
it's a pull.
It's the fact that he also then scored as well. Yeah. Like if it was a player that hadn't actually been involved with the goal. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only way we could kind of say.
Unfortunately,
it. But that was such a bit. I was so happy.
The way of football forever, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
then I'll tell you what.
I'm trying to think of chances.
The moment in the second half, Pervis Estupiñán outside the box.
Oh
when
my
he
god!
Absolutely twatted it.
I thought it was outrageous.
I thought it was going in. I jumped out of my seat
and I said the famous thing. Yeah, I said the famous thing. Just as he was coming up to it, I was like, don't shoot, for God's sake. And he just smacks it. I was like, oh, that was close.
That's the difference between me and you. I was going, shoot.
It was millimetres.
Because
after Enciso's goal, do you remember, any time we were like in and around the box, everyone was like, shoot.
I was like, don't shoot. And then he went bang. I was like, oh my gosh, that was close.
Yeah, that was outrageous.
I was watching the fight.
Imagine we beat them with them two goals.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? Imagine that. That would be like the bragging rights over the rest of the league for ages. Say we beat City with two of like goals of the season, it would be unreal. But I'm trying to think of others. We had the Mitoma chance, the header, which probably should have done better with, maybe got that on target.
Ferguson, when he came on, he looked good. So he had that chance from like really acute angle, but drilled it out.
Mate, do you know what I love about Evan, right? Yeah, he gets that ball from sort of, it's a very awkward angle. And the first thing in his brain, my dad said this, shout out Dad, he said, the first thing in his head is just to shoot. He gets the ball, he's like, bang it. And it's still on target. I mean, he's got such a great ability of knowing where the goal is. It's such a rare thing to have. Like, if you're a good striker, you can get them off, but not many people do.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's what we want in a striker. Let's probably not go through individual names, but like Welbeck was decent. Most players were bloody good, really.
The whole team, one
player that didn't play who has we'll do that later. Full time scenes. Players do another obviously lap of honour like they've done against Southampton. Alexis is walking maybe 10 or 15 meters in front of everyone else, and when I was standing around with the boys, I was like. One of them was like, oh, Alexis is doing his farewell here, isn't he? Because like he's walking away from the actual group of people. It was just him on his ones, just clapping, leading the whole team. And I wouldn't say I had a lump in my throat, but I did get emotional when he was coming over and clapping. Because I thought, yeah, that could be him going. I don't know what you boys thought, if you managed to see that.
I thought
what you made of it.
I thought the opposite, to be honest. You know, usually when a player's leaving, right? When a player's leaving, they proper do it, like overdo it, like, you know, go over to the crowd, you know, proper applaud. I didn't feel like he did that. And I don't know, maybe I'm just, you know, trying to hold on to any hope right now, because I know he's going to leave.
Maybe he'll do it against Villa.
Maybe, yeah. I think that would be, If at Villa, he proper goes up to the away fans and gives his farewells, I think that we all know that that's done and dusted. But yeah, I don't know. It felt like not the proper farewell that I would expect from a player leaving. Does that make sense? Mm. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Mm. But yeah, we all know. And just quickly, actually, on the atmosphere, me and Ryan spoke about this on the last pod, but I was being very nice, actually. I was being nice. I said, no, it was good atmosphere. And then Ryan said it was shit. And I was like, yeah, I agree. Because I don't want to be the guy to bring it up. But it was way better. Like, the atmosphere of Man City was so much better. I know it was a night game, and probably because it was Man City, it was way better. But yeah,
there's less pressure, maybe. Which, maybe, you know, you should argue that would make you be more vocal in the stands.
Yeah, I felt like the Southampton game, our support was not good. But in the Man City game, we turned up and we found our voices. And it was it felt like a proper game because of the quality on display. I think that definitely helped.
No, that's true. And Ryan, what did you make? Did you stay for, or did you run for before? Well, run to get the car. Did you see Alexis saying goodbye?
What do you think, mate? I was gone. What do you think, mate? I'll stay. Of course I stay. Alexis, weird. I think, I don't know. I'm not sure what I think on Alexis, whether he'll stay or go. Same with Moises. I just don't know. I think it's the one thing that De Zerbi said in the press was that we can offer them more now we've got Europa, because, you know, it's more of an incentive, and that's what he hopes that can keep them to stay. And for him to say that is quite good, actually, because it makes you think, at least De Zerbi's saying it, not like, you know, just like journalists or something. It makes you feel a bit better about it. But I don't know. I genuinely think it's in the air, because there's nothing agreed. There's nothing done. And, you know, I know that a lot of like Fabrizio's tweets and a lot of other people's tweets are sort of suggesting it. But then The Athletic and stuff sort of deny it from both ends, that's including Liverpool. So I don't know. I actually don't know what to expect from Alexis.
What I also don't get,
Ryan, but we'll see.
Apart from money, of course, Liverpool is the main club that he's been linked with throughout the past few months. And now they're going to be competing in the Europa League with us. Other than money, why would you move to them? Maybe do another season with us and then get a bigger move. Or obviously if City come calling to replace Gundogan, because I saw Pep had his arm around Alexis, so that obviously means he's interested. I'm joking. But, mate, that would be I'd rather him go City, of course, just because that would be great for Alexis. But I just don't get... I don't get the pull of Liverpool, unless he's obviously been a fan of them or whatever.
I don't get the...
If they're playing in the same competition
as us. Itself, if you know what I mean. I don't think that he's a Liverpool player.
But the thing is, their midfield is aging / gone. They don't have a midfield. So he would be pretty much a guaranteed starter. Yeah. So he'd be a pretty much guaranteed starter at Liverpool. Whereas, let's say you're Man City, he'd be on the bench. There's no way he's getting in that team ahead of Rodri and Gundogan. Like,
no, but
no
Gundogan's
chance.
Going, isn't he? That's what I'm saying. I think
Gundogan's gone, isn't
he?
Oh, right. But even so, like, I don't think he'd start for City. But that's just me.
Well,
but you know, at Liverpool, he's guaranteed to start. We'll take Gundogan. You can have.
I agree with Ryan, though. I really do. I just don't think he would suit Liverpool.
He's not a Liverpool.
I'm worried
player.
That he wouldn't
I
be.
But
that he's not a game changer player. For Liverpool. I don't.
No, no,
think.
But
I don't,
Ben,
that's
but
I
Ben,
think.
Why? If as long as we get 60 million for him, who gives a
yeah,
shit?
Of course.
It's
yeah.
Exactly like Cucurella.
Well, I'd rather him stay. I don't get the 60 million.
Of course. No, of course. Look. Let's be clear. I want him to stay. However, if he is to go, 60 million, I'll take that all day long, mate. And then we'll probably find some South American wonder kid for 2 million, and he'll be the next big thing. So who cares, mate? Who cares?
I'm just going to love Alexis. It'll be really
no. I love him as well.
I think. I don't know if it's anything done. I just don't think that there's any like set in stone thing that suggests that it's done to me. You know, maybe if there's City are interested, I could see that more. I just can't see the Liverpool thing, and I never have done. And I just don't see him being, one, a Liverpool player. Two, I don't see Liverpool spending 75, 80 million on him, because I just don't see that happening. But maybe I'm wrong. They've only done it a handful of times on big transfers. And they just don't seem like that sort of team. Maybe I'll be wrong and we'll see. But, you know, you see, for example, they normally get someone like a Jota. I know they spent 50 million on him, but they normally go obscure, a bit more obscure than just getting
Alexis. They're stacked up top though, aren't they? They've got like so many forward options. They just need midfielders now.
Yeah.
And they're pretty much sorted.
I must admit though, the James Milner thing perhaps could be to do with it. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. We've got three more talking points. They're not going to be too long, so. And then obviously we can go. We'll be doing a Villa preview. And this time we'll actually be uploading it because for Newcastle, we filmed a separate preview and never actually put it out.
The Lacon one.
But we'll do a Villa preview and that'll be in a separate episode. We've got three more talking points. I'll touch on one that's quite funny. A video surfaced of what we thought was looked like an Italian man with a tattoo dancing on a table with gin tub. People were like, is it him? Is it not? Someone said, is it? That looks like Shusha VIP. And I was like, I don't think Shusha VIP has a lovely chandelier.
It didn't look like gin tub. That's what threw me. I was like, yeah. I've been in gin tub a few times and it didn't look like gin tub. But then you kind of saw a glimpse
of his like tattoo. Yeah, it was him. You saw his like, he's got like two bands on his bicep, I'm pretty sure. Stalker, maybe. Funny. it looked like him dancing on the table, dancing around. It looked as brilliant. And then another video surfaced of them, singing Wonderwall, I think, weren't they? All the players, Wonderwall, all the staff were in gin tub. Yeah. Just to be in there, imagine that. That would have been such a good night. So nice to see him release that and just enjoy that kind of moment.
I just love the fact that both Man City and Brighton just got absolutely paralytic after Sunday. and they just both just went on a lash. Like Man City, was it Pep came out and said, we drank all the booze in Manchester.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then obviously Brighton were out on the lash in gin tub or wherever else. And they both played really good football and called it a stalemate. But I think the players deserve it. You know, they've done so well this season. Just to have a big night out, they deserve it. It's the least they deserve. And I'm sure they've got lots of plans in Mykonos and all these places, Vegas in the summer, which they'll be absolutely living the dream.
Funny you say that. They've got plans. It looks like they had plans last night because Billy Gilmore, Levi Colwill, at least were both having a little drink together. Ryan Adset decided to try his luck and tweet, how's your night? During Chelsea's battering at Old Trafford when they lost 4-1, Ryan Gorn, Levi Colwill reply saying, what, having a good night, mate, with a picture of him and Billy Gilmore, the thumbs up.
Put brilliant.
Take it away.
With like three exclamation marks. Brilliant. Yeah, since I've received, I think, 5 death threats. And yeah, some crazy.
That's good going,
yeah.
Rhymes.
Yeah.
That's my usual Thursday nights.
But yeah, it's been a bit wild. But yeah, I don't know. I don't get how it happened, mate, to be honest, because I don't know how it's gone so viral. Like, I just didn't see it happening. And now it's gone on like Sport Bible and Talk Sport. And I'm thinking, my God, all I said was, you're having a good night, mate. I didn't think I've exactly stirred the pot or anything. But, you know,
well, you tweeted it after they just got battered 4-1 against Man United.
Well, I tweeted it during it. And like, I don't think it was worthy of what I got back, mate, to be honest with you. But anyway.
No. I'm not justifying the abuse. But
no, of course not.
What is quite funny is Levi's responded. So what I find the funniest part is Billy Gilmore retweeted it. And of all of that to happen, I'm the one that gets the backlash. What is this game? But yeah, it's interesting, mate. I don't really know what's going to happen. But we want Levi to stay. And that's all that really matters. I want Levi Colwill to stay. I don't think many Chelsea fans want him back anymore. So you may as well, mate, to be fair.
Because I think we've done what morning, we set out.
You may as well not bother
operation.
Going back.
Operation is complete, boys.
I mean, he had a quote in The Athletic, didn't he, saying that he loves it here and that sort of thing. You see what happens at the end of the season with Chelsea. And I've said it, and I'm glad, because I said I think we would be able to get him. I'm pretty sure I've said that publicly. And I'm glad it seems like it could be coming true that we will be getting him on a perm. What I will say another thing that was quite funny is obviously this was all Ryan that was obviously digging at Chelsea. Then Bugsy CFC goes, Ryan Edson and Seagull Social, proper creeps, man. I went to quote tweet it with the 50 Cent meme. Saw Maz had already done it. I was like, that's brilliant. Great mind. Was perfect. What'd you say fuck me for?
I was like, don't worry, mate.
Someone should be being a third of the podcast. My God. I'm not anything to do with this.
We got you back, mate. Now you've gone viral. We got you back. No, I'm joking. No, obviously, we don't condone any of the abuse because that's just a step too far. As we always say, look, football banter is football banter. Like, just chill out on the abuse and the death rates and stuff like that. It's just not needed at all.
But you know know what's like, weird, mate? Yeah. Like, I've had some banter, and to be fair, there's been quite a few Chelsea fans have messaged me saying, like, there's, like, two sides of good our chat. Fan base. There's one's just, like, absolutely, like, crazy, like, genuinely crazy, and then there's the ones that actually, like, go to the games and talk proper just football. And I think that that's the difference. You just got to find the proper Chelsea fans and the ones that are just the complete trolls. Unfortunately, with the nature of Twitter, there's more trolls than there are actual just normal fans. But it is what it is, I'm mate. Like, you know, as long as you don't, you know, have any problems, it's fine. But yeah, I just think overall, on a footballing basis, Levi Colwill, I want him to stay. Yeah. And I want him to just, staying here with Billy Gilmore next season. It'll be top.
Just a final message. He'll be top. Just a final message, everyone. Social media is not real, so just chill out.
What do you mean?
That's true.
Yeah, social media. What do you mean, real life.
Mate?
I promise
people
you right
know
now.
Who I am. That's what they say. They know me. What do you mean?
I promise you right now, Ryan. If they saw you in real life, I promise you right now, they would not have the energy they have online. I promise you that now.
You're right, mate.
Poo their pants.
You are right.
Big week for the club where we got promotion. We qualified for Europa League, drew with Man City. We also finally saw another Lewis Dunk England call-up. And I was still surprised, even though I was like, obviously he's been playing brilliantly. But even when he's been playing brilliantly, he never has been called up. But I was so, so happy to see. He finally gets to change his profile picture after 4.5 years on Instagram. The same England one,
yes,
with the number 6 on the back. But yeah, I'm so happy, and it'll be great practice. What we play in Macedonia and Malta, I think there'll be great practice for the Europa League next year when we're playing against some teenagers from there.
Yeah, found his level.
Yeah, found his level. Yeah. But our boys, Ryan, I'll go with you first. Were you buzzing to see that?
Of course, mate. Like, you know, I've been trying to bang the drum as long as I think we've even been doing this podcast. I think if you were to look through and just solely filter out my rants on Lewis Dunk getting to the England team, I think you'd have at least 2 or 3 hours of content to watch, so you'd be entertained. But it's about time, mate, to be honest with you. You know, it is about time. Hopefully he just is able to impress now. You know, hopefully it's not one where he just gets called up and then forgotten about again, because Gareth Southgate wants to keep people happy. But hopefully he can make a bit of a statement and push on for the Euros next season, isn't it? Which is weird because obviously it doesn't feel long ago we had the Euros, but the COVID tax on that, and it's, you know, pushed it forward another year. So Euros next year, and you never know, we could be seeing a Lewis Dunk at the Euros, and my God, how that would be unbelievable.
That was a good point. I actually didn't even think about that. And Maz, you obviously you obviously had the conversation with him at the game. Yeah. Did you cover that in the last episode?
Very briefly. It was I know Dunkey for a long time. Obviously, I don't get to chat with him or you know, I don't have him on WhatsApp or anything like that. But yeah, whenever we catch up, it's always good. Get to follow me back. It's always good to chat with him, and I'm just so proud of like how far he's come. I said it in the last pod, like just to know him, like knowing him from when he was the under 21s, because obviously, basically, I knew him through Connor Wilkins, obviously Dean Wilkins' son, and that's how we knew each other. We'd go out on nights out and stuff together. And that was when, like, before he'd really broken into the first team. So to see him from that stage of, like, yeah, us being on West Street, having a few drinks, having a few shots.
Boutique yoga bombs.
Oh, yeah, mate, yeah, bloody, and the rest. Because obviously, you know, when he was a bit younger, and I think he's the first one to admit, he, not wild, but, you know, he was a bit out there, and, you know, he liked to go on a night out and that kind of stuff. But, like, to see his journey coming from that to where he is now, to, you know, having a family and being, you know, an England squad and being the captain of Brighton of Albion. Like, it's just an incredible journey, and I'm so proud of him, what he's achieved and how far he's come. So I think it's just, he deserves another cap at least. Hopefully, like Ryan said, it's not just one of those sort of virtue signaling. What's the word I'm looking for? Basically, he's not just to appease, you know, the people that have been digging into Southgate. I hope it's not... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I hope it's not one of those where he's just done it just for the sake of doing it. It's actually to utilise him. And, you know, because he is, we said it last pod, didn't we, Ryan? He's probably arguably one of the top 4 centre-backs, English centre-backs right now. Like, you could argue he's just behind John Stones. Definitely. Yeah. So, you know, don't just call him up for the sake of it. At least, you know, give him a chance. And if he doesn't perform, he doesn't perform. That's the way it's going to be. But
so
at least
funny
give him the
people
chance
going
to,
about Tomori to as well. They're like, oh, Vicario Tomori. Not a single one of them has watched more than three games of Serie A this season. None of them, including me. So when they go on about it, they're like, oh, Tomori. It's like, you do not watch Milan week in, week out. So how on earth can you say that? Besides, even if he wanted to come up, which FIFA, I probably would agree anyway.
He's got a FIFA.
He's got a good card on FIFA, mate. That's the only reason people want to hear him. Like, he used to be in the Chelsea Academy. It's wild, mate. But to be fair, like, I do see why people would want him in when you still see, you know, the squad's still weird. Like, still Calvin Phillips in there and stuff like that, you know. And I think that's where it lets him, where Gareth Southgate lets himself down, because he puts in a few through form and everyone's like, oh, finally, he's picking someone different. But then he's still got Calvin Phillips, still got Conor Gallagher. You know, these players are just, how on earth can they get called up? I mean, I know he dropped Raheem Sterling, Calvin Phillips. But, like, my gosh, but what's Phillips done, mate? What's Phillips done this season? Nothing. Like, how can he even be called up to the England squad? It's beyond me. So those sort of players, I'll always...
Yeah.
Harry Maguire's another one, you know. Did he pull up Connor Cody this time?
No.
Okay, thank God. At least there's, you know, one of them's gone. But yeah, I just never understand it, really. But it is what it is. For once, actually, and I'll make myself clear on this one, Tyrone Mings deserves his call-up because I think he's been really good for Villa. I will take back my Tyrone Mings agenda. I no longer have one because I don't really care. So, but like,
imagine they have an unbelievable partnership against Malta, and we're like the best centre back partnership since Rio Ferdinand.
And Marguerite, he's in there. Is what it is. Yeah, he's been decent for Palace. So I can't even knock that.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point.
But yeah,
and Eze, I was actually, like, even though he's a Palace
about
player,
who they play for, if they're decent that. Players, you know, like,
yeah,
I give credit where it's due.
His journey's. Eze's journey is wild. And if we can appreciate Dunk's journey, we can also appreciate Eze's journey as well.
Yeah,
fair play for that.
Yeah.
I think that is about it. You know, Ryan getting cancelled by Chelsea. De Zerbi on the table with Gin Tub. Dunk getting called up to England. Brighton qualified for Europa League.
Been a quiet week, boys.
Us drawing with City with unbelievable goals.
Just one normal week in Brighton.
Yeah,
Twitter.
Just a normal week in Brighton. We are flying and... What a special, special time to support this club.
I wonder why I've got these bags under my eyes.
We're very, very lucky.
It's just, you'll know what.
Yeah. It's been tough.
Just quickly as well, before we wrap this up, fucking Southern Trains, sort your lives out, mate. You're a joke. Honestly.
Right, Jack,
it was an
come
absolute
on, mate.
Disgrace.
On you come.
Yeah. Jack, it's a disgrace, mate. I didn't get
How
home until 2 a.m. Pieces of shit.
Come on, Jack. Come and sort this out.
I told you for the bad language.
You should have come to Grand Central. Probably.
I should have come and met you after. I messed up. Yeah,
we were just chilling there. Right.
It is what it is.
Well, like and subscribe, of course. As per. Comment down below. Obviously, let us know your goal of the season. And was Julio's better against City or Chelsea? Also, comment down below saying... something about Dunk for England. Congratulations.
I'm thinking
Dunk
about Chelsea one
emoji.
Now. You put that right in my head again. It's just
right maybe
behind
Cole
the goal. That was such
Cole,
a nice strike.
Maybe Cole Will is staying in capital letters. Cole Will is staying.
Rattle some more Chelsea fans, yeah.
Cole Will is staying. Believe it.
Get Ryan
put
small
it into the atmosphere.
Go for it, boys.
Get into the universe.
Achieve.
Believe, dream, and achieve. Obviously leave a review on Spotify and Apple, and we will see you. You'll see us before the Villa game. Cool, we're going to have to get that out very soon because obviously we're filming this on Friday. But peace out and see you very soon.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.